Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible. Thank you.
Tuning in today, this is Bill Arnold in for Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. We're here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome to the show. Nice to have you on board, and a very happy Wednesday to you. You know, I got a very big chunk of good news, and that is, ready for this? Susie's going to be back on Monday here in the studio, back to her regular position hosting the show, and we're excited to have her back. I have in studio with me my partner and on Real Recovery, George Fraser. Hello, George.
Bill, I thought she was going to be back today.
Well, that's why you're here.
Yeah.
You've got
a little disappointed.
The welcome back basket of fruit and flowers for Susie, so it was nice of you to bring it over.
Thanks for letting me come over today.
Yeah, nice to have you here. George, we're going to have a very interesting show today with Doug Kaufman. He has a ministry called Hope 360, which is, I find this so fascinating because we have so many ways to communicate the gospel and the message of hope to people, and why not use every technology available? And he's got a website filled with stories, and they're all labeled. You go on, you can see, here's someone that has dealt with abuse. Here's someone that has dealt with an abortion. Here's someone that has dealt, it just goes incest. It goes on and on and on. So you go, there's just a catalog of videos you can watch of real people telling their real stories in a beautiful 3 to 7 minute format. And the amazing thing is at the end of the video, there's a little tab you can punch to actually email the person and actually communicate with them. I find that fascinating.
I love that. We've had some of the people on our show on Real Recovery.
We have. That's
Sunday nights at 5 o'clock on this station.
Yeah, we're not here to really advertise that, but the show is at Sunday nights at 5, and then it gets replayed Saturdays at 3, Real Recovery.
So you're saying it's on Sundays at 5 and Saturdays at 3?
I just mentioned that. Yeah, okay. And I appreciate you reinforcing what I just said. I think that's good. It's very helpful. But anyway, we've got Doug Kaufman in studio today, and he's right here with us today. So let's welcome him to the show. Doug, pull up a chair and make yourself uncomfortable.
I am. Thank you.
All right.
Very uncomfortable.
All right.
Just kidding.
We always love to start the show with scripture. So do you have a verse, a life verse, or something that's been on your heart for a week, a month, a year that you want to share with our listeners?
I do, actually. This verse has, I never saw it before that I know of up until about 8-9 years ago. So, and it keeps coming back. It means so much to me. It's James 1:2-4. And it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that that testing your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, and not lacking anything." So when I first saw that verse, it just popped out of the pages to me, and I was going through a really difficult time, divorce and bankruptcy and just things I never thought I would see myself going through. But I think it was after a counseling session that I saw that, and the counselor told me something that stuck with me, and she said, "You know, I can't relate, Doug, to anything you're going through right now. Divorce, having your kids, your boys, half the time, you know, in split custody and bankruptcy." But she goes, "You're in a really good position." And I kind of chuckled and I was like, "How's that?" You know?
Yeah, you're the only one laughing right now.
Exactly. And she said, "Because you are in a corner, you have nowhere else to turn but to Jesus."
Mm.
And that just really stuck out to me. And I went home that night, and I'm a runner. I run, and I usually run maybe 4 miles. I ran 8 miles that night. I was so energized that just like a bolt of lightning, mm-hmm, energized me. And so then I came across this verse shortly thereafter, And it did. It brought me joy because of how it brought me close to God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could just tell you story after story after I was home at night when it's, you know, when I'm supposed to usually have a house full of, you know, a wife and kids.
Four boys you have.
Four boys, mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, just alone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just reached out to him. I cried out to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I read more scripture during that time than I ever had in my entire life. And, you know, they say when you go through a crisis, you typically, that's when you draw the closest to God.
Mm-hmm.
And even listening to praise and worship music and standing in my living room when it's dark and having my hands up in the air and praising Jesus, you know, all by myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I often thought my neighbors are probably thinking, why is this guy, what's he trying to do up there lifting up his hands towards the ceiling?
Well, we got some of the letters from the neighbors. I could read them if you like.
Please don't.
Yeah, they're not complimentary. I'd love to hear your story of how you came to faith in Christ.
Well, I was 7 years old. And did you ever hear of James Robinson?
Sure.
Okay. So I was at one of his crusades with my father and my sister, and we were sitting down, and at the end of this crusade, he said, hey, does anybody want to make a profession and give their life over to Jesus? And we were all standing at the time, and all I remember is we were outside, and I just got this nudge. I was like, yes, I want to do this. And at that very moment, my dad turned to me, and he said, do you want to go up and pray?
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah. And he went with me, and I went up and prayed the prayer. And my life's never been the same since.
Mm.
Not that it's been perfect or I've been super close to God all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's the short story.
Yeah, it's what it says in Hebrews 2, verse 1, and I can't get it right away, but it says, be careful and always remember what you've been taught so you don't drift away. And I go, oh, that's always a great reminder for me because we do have to stay focused in God's word because if we don't, we can drift away pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
And so your story and the way you have helped organize other people to tell their stories is a great story. And Hope 360, your ministry, and if I were to go on the internet and look it up right now or at the break, it would be hope360.org or .com.
.org.
Hope360.org. And it's got a whole bunch of stories. But I want to hear what is Hope 360 in your opinion. Tell the listeners what it is.
You did a great job in the beginning of the show.
Well, thank you. But I want to hear it from you.
So we combat hopelessness by sharing stories of hope.
I love it.
And how we do that is we equip and inspire Christians, you know, the church,
mm-hmm.
to stand up and tell their story on video, and then we put them on our website. And like you said earlier, we have an option there where somebody can click on the email button and
mm-hmm.
email the storyteller. And all the storytellers are there to basically pray for and encourage other people.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not counselors, they're not pastors, they're not professional, at least most of them aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And we found that, you know, if people can know that they're not alone going through a certain crisis,
mm-hmm.
And they can relate and they know there's someone else out there, that means the world to them as they're in this tough spot that they're in. And so it's the ultimate hope. Well, the ultimate hope is Jesus, but that's maybe the second ultimate hope,
yeah.
You know, that knowing that, hey, there's someone else there and they just feel so comfortable when they find that person that says, wow, I can relate to this.
Mm-hmm.
What we found is when people go to the website, they might go on there to see the story that they intended to look up that they can relate to. And then all of a sudden they're watching another one and another one. And the reason I think a lot of them just resonate with them is maybe the actual crisis or the situation of the storyteller isn't the same
mm-hmm.
as the person viewing it, but the ending result.
Right.
Hope. There's
right.
hope in Jesus Christ, and that is what they're looking for. They're
right.
looking for hope.
You know, it's interesting. I'm going to ask George Fraser, the co-host of Real Recovery, who's in studio, just for temporarily. You're right. You're temporarily, right, George?
I got to go home and watch Fast Money, but I'm here.
Okay, good.
Till the end.
Yeah.
Break
Let me
here.
Ask you this. Have you been in church services where someone has given their faith testimony in the context of the service, and you walked away that day going, that was the best part of the service?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because it's so heartfelt, and it's so strong, and it's so powerful. And really what Doug has done is taken essentially all those little storytellers and put them on his website and made it very accessible. And what I love, again, is the fact that you can actually contact one of the storytellers. Because there's sometimes I've got a follow-up question. I listen to your story and then what happened kind of thing. So the fact, it's just great you can access those people, and they've given permission to let that happen.
Yeah. And the idea, the thought behind it, too, is it's I've always said that's kind of like a starting point. That's, hey, if they contact them in the email, the ideal situation is to get together, have coffee with that person, and be able to form a relationship with that person and pray for them and mentor them, invite them into your church and your small group. And, you know, that's what Christ calls us to do.
You mean disciple. Actually act like Christians? Is that what you're saying?
Sort of, yeah.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that at all. So I want to hear your story. I know you're one of the featured stories on the website, the Hope 360, and yours is riveting. And I have to say, I watched yours right away, and I was moved. I was choked up. But I heard about the work that Christ did in your life, and I was very encouraged by the whole thing. But I think before we start, I think I'm going to go to break. I think, because when we come back, I want you to have all kinds of time to let that unfold. You're listening to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold in today for Susie. We'll take a short break and be right back.
In the eye of the storm.
Welcome back to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold in today for Susie, and the good news is she's coming back Monday. We're very excited. I can't wait to get her back myself and to sit and listen to her. Today I'm talking to Doug Kaufman. He has a ministry called Hope 360, and I find this absolutely fascinating. And I've been interested from the minute I watched one video. You sort of get addicted and you start watching other videos. But he is helping the hopeless find hope. And when in the age of internet and instant gratification, he can help you and lead you into someone telling their story. And it could very well be exactly something you're going through. So you're going to have an instant connection to someone else sharing their brokenness. It might be very much what you're going through. And then they talk about the power of Jesus in their life. And so it's really very, very cool. But Doug, I want to hear your story.
Well, I was married for 13 years, and we have four boys. And my wife left. She married her old boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very devastating because, well, we had a family.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, right before that time, this was back in 08, so I was in real estate, not as a realtor, but I was remodeling homes and flipping houses and so forth. And so I was over-leveraged, and so that whole thing was collapsing at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Which is a tough time for real estate back then, wasn't it?
Right.
Yep.
Right. And did you ever hear that saying that God won't give you more than you can handle?
I've heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then I recently read that he does give you more than you can handle because he wants you to kind of just lay it all at his feet and run to him.
Mm-hmm. So that's good. And that produces Philippians 4:13. I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me, because Paul was at a point where he was saying, I'm done.
Right.
I can't take this anymore.
Yeah.
And then that produces that verse. So, no, I agree with he does give you more than you can handle.
Yeah.
So you come to him.
It's scary, but boy, does it stretch your faith. And just the growth that I went through, that brings me back to the James verse, you know, plowing forward in your faith until you're complete and mature, not lacking anything. Mm-hmm. Not that you're ever there or have arrived, you know what I mean?
But, yeah.
So anyway, so I got more attorneys and whatever, you know, that I can handle at this point, a bankruptcy attorney.
Yeah.
I got divorce attorney. And
but attorneys are free, so that's no big deal.
I haven't found one yet
that is
free. But so anyway, we divorce, and bankruptcy happens, and, you know, it was, like I mentioned a little earlier, it just, with the split custody of the boys at that point, my oldest was 10,
mm-hmm.
and on down, 10, 8, 6, and about 4.
Mm-hmm.
It was really tough. I was dad number one priority, mm-hmm. besides God in my life, and my marriage was my kids,
mm-hmm.
you know. I remember remodeling my house, and I would do it all after 10 o'clock after they'd go to bed.
Cause mm-hmm.
I'd love reading to them and putting them to bed and just being with them.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the interesting thing about that, me going through that, was go back 20 years, about 22 years now. I'm at Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first time, I can tell you exactly where I was, that God had put on my heart to start this ministry.
Really?
Yeah, it was interesting. And I didn't mention anything to anybody back then because I thought that was crazy and
mm-hmm.
foolish and, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. That was somebody else and God's got the wrong guy. But I was home alone in my apartment. I had five guys living with me, and it was a miracle to be alone because, you know, you have five guys. There's mm-hmm. like Grand Central Station all
sure,
the time. You
sure.
know? But I remember I was sitting. I can tell you where I was sitting on this couch, and
smells worse, by the way.
Probably did.
Yeah.
But where God just planted this thought, you know.
And what was the thought?
Hope that you're going to share hope with people. You should share hope with people.
Mm-hmm.
You should go into ministry and. I didn't have all the pieces to the puzzle then.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness I probably would have never done it,
mm-hmm.
you know, because if you know everything, you say, that's too scary.
Right.
But, yeah, it was to share hope through different mediums,
mm-hmm.
through, you know.
And, of course, 22 years ago, we didn't really know what the Internet was going to be and
right.
how it would influence our ability to share our hope in Christ with others.
Right. And at that point, I was thinking TV.
But oh, really?
That's what popped into my head.
Okay.
So now fast forward. I think it was 97, 1997.
Mm-hmm.
Another time where, so all this time, it's kind of weaving in and out of my mind that,
mm-hmm.
you know, I should be doing this, but nothing real too serious because I kept dismissing it. And I probably wasn't bold enough in my faith to stand up and say, okay, I'm going to do this. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I'm afraid what people would think, or that's not Doug, or
yeah.
know, the people closest
well,
to me.
I think a lot of people feel that way. You know, they start feeling the leading of the Lord, and they freak out a little bit.
Right.
You know, I'm not ready. This you got the wrong guy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty natural, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, in 97, I remember I was driving to St. Cloud, or toward St. Cloud on 94, Highway 94, leaving out of the cities here, going north, and I was actually listening to KTIS. And, this song,
nice plug.
Yeah,
we'll
exactly,
take it.
Exactly.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Mm-hmm. And this song came on by Casting Crowns.
Okay, so you're on the music side. You're not on the talk side.
Right.
So
right.
it's
Sorry.
Irrelevant. The compliments are irrelevant.
I can see them through the window there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So KTIS, that is, in the next room.
Yeah,
over.
They're in the across the way.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, this song, it's not a very popular song. I think it's called America.
Okay.
And it talks about us worshiping the trees and talked about abortion in
mm-hmm.
there. And I literally got to my destination and I pulled over and I was just weeping. I was in tears. And that was so strong that God was like, you remember back at Liberty?
Mm-hmm.
I told you about this. And I even had the dean of men at Liberty who I kind of knew well, just for other reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But
I have no idea what that means.
I was a prankster.
Oh, you were a prankster. Oh, okay,
yeah, yeah.
So you got introduced to the dean because you were doing pranks and you got in his office.
Right, right.
Okay.
But one time he said to me, he goes, well, many times, he goes, you're going to be in the ministry someday. And I kept thinking, no, that's not me.
Isn't that interesting?
I'll be donating to the ministry. I'm going
right.
to be a businessman. You know?
Right,
I'm,
right.
I'm here for business.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm going to be like Donald Trump, you know, real estate.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
So anyway... I pull over and I'm just in tears and I'm God's laying this on my heart about and I quickly get a yellow pad out and I scratch down on this piece of paper, this ministry will provide hope to the following people. And
mm-hmm.
I probably listed like 20 things.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one, I kid you not, was divorce. And keep in mind, I didn't go through anything yet, you know, as far as major devastation in my life.
You're a college student at this point, right?
Well, no, this is after college.
Oh, after college, okay.
Yeah. But divorce, bankruptcy, foreclosure were the first three.
Interesting.
And then four, abortion and cancer. It just went on and on. And I think the reason I listed those three was I was in real estate back then, and I had some rentals, and I was dealing with a lot of people that were, you know, if they're losing their house or whatever, typically there's bankruptcy and divorce, and their life's kind of collapsing, so to speak, and they're losing those things. So I think that was why that was on my heart, you know. So anyway, I write this thing, and I tuck this piece of paper away, and I don't say anything to anyone. Again, I'm just thinking this is crazy. But now it's heating up. God's not just tapping me on the shoulder. He's kind of, you know, nudging me pretty hard, you know. And at one point, I just said something to my father and then an old roommate from Liberty. His name is Chris. And so anyway, then right before the divorce and the bankruptcy and all the devastation in my life, I was getting ready to tell my wife and getting ready to come out with this and say, you know what, I feel like this has been on my heart for 20 years. And I never did. I never did. And so then that happened, the divorce and everything, and the wheels fell off my life, so to speak. And at that point, it was very clear that I was to kind of put that on the back shelf and just heal.
Sure.
And just turn my attention to God. And you know that saying, hurt people hurt people.
Sure.
You know, so it was clear to me that I was not supposed to do this. So anyway, lost my real estate business and all this, and I was literally digging ditches. But happier than a pig in mud. I mean, just...
You were in mud, though.
If you're digging ditches,
you're in mud.
Right. Okay. So you get the analogy.
I get it. Yeah. It all works.
but just knowing this is around the corner and just drawing close to God and just excited for what he was going to do and in his timing. And so about 2 or 3 years pass, and now I'm getting a little antsy. I'm like, okay, God, what... It's exciting, but on the other hand, I'm kind of getting frustrated. You know, I'm like, what do you want? What am I supposed to do? And, you know, I want to know.
Like we all do.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's
very natural.
It's difficult waiting for what you know is something you're supposed to wait for, but you don't know how long you're supposed to. Am I supposed to wait 10 years?
Of course.
So March 25th. I forget what year it was now off the top.
Doesn't matter.
But that doesn't matter.
No.
I was home. It was dark here in Minneapolis. You know, the time change. It's 5:30 at night.
It can be depressing.
Depressed.
Yeah.
Kids were over at my ex-wife's house. And I was really just at the point where I'm like, okay, God, what do you want? I'm going to get my real estate license, or I'm going to do something. I'm just moving forward. I'm not waiting anymore. Kind of like in a scary spot. And so anyway... I'll tell the rest when we come back.
Yeah, I think that's a cliffhanger right there.
Yeah.
What is God going to be doing in your life? We're talking to Doug Kaufman. He's got a very powerful ministry called Hope 360. You go to hope360.org and check it out. This is Bill Artle in for Susie Larson. We'll take a short break and be right back. Welcome back to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold in for Susie. You know, today we're talking about helping the hopeless find hope. I love that word. That's what we want to do here every day on Faith Radio, is offer hope. And my guest in studio, Doug Kaufman, we're just finding out about his story, and then we're going to hear about his ministry some more, Hope 360. If you go to hope360.org, you can see some very powerful stories and by storytellers who have volunteered to be very transparent and vulnerable. And if you go on the website, you can see all the subjects of which they talk about are categorized. So if you're going through something, maybe you're in a struggle with an addiction of some kind or an issue of some kind, you can click right on that story and then hear someone tell their story, their testimony of the very thing that they're going through. And it's very fascinating. But anyway, let's get back to your story. When we last left off, you were home alone, crying out to God, when is this thing going to take action? When is this going to take shape?
Right. So, like I said, God had planted this in my heart back 22 years ago. And so then about 3 years after the divorce and my life collapsed, I was waiting for God to say when and what. What is this? All I knew was I used to tell people, am I supposed to – I didn't know if I was supposed to take a sign and stand out in front of Target and say there's hope in Jesus. You know, I that's all I knew. All I knew I was supposed to, you know, portray that there's hope, you know. So anyway, March 25th. I'm at home, 5:30 at night. It's dark, depressed. And
yeah.
I'm crying out to God, and I'm like, "I, what is this? What do you want? What should I do? I've been waiting for this. What do you want me to do? I know I'm supposed to do this." And in that next second, I didn't know what the next step was right then. But in a second after that, he said, "Take the first step." And right then in that very moment, the first step came to me. And it's like I never committed to him. I was always afraid. I wasn't bold enough. I was timid in my faith. I thought this was crazy. And so it was an emotional moment. I got down on my hands and knees, and I had this red chair in my office. I remember it. I kneeled down on this chair, and I'm bawling. I'm like, I'm all in. I am burning the ship, so to speak. I'm sailing out to this island, and I'm burning the ship, and I can't go back. I don't know what I'm in for. I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but if this is the first step, I'm in.
Wow.
And, yeah, I got up and I wiped my face of the tears. And about 20 minutes later, he gives me this vision. And so I go over to my computer and I start typing it out as fast as I can type. And
the vision for the ministry.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
And so about hope and about how we're going to have a story. And it wasn't all clear at that point.
Sure.
You know, it started coming together after I started taking some steps. But I got to I love this part because here's where God – continually, he just I hesitate to say he showed up because he's always there. But
right.
Here's where I saw that he showed up. You know, he sent someone to my door. I'm typing, and I get to the point where I'm going to finance this by or how am I going to live? How am I going to am I supposed to work? You know, like a tent maker,
sure.
Like Paul, or am I supposed to do whatever? And I thought, well, I don't want to deal with people as far as money and all this. And
you didn't want to ask for money,
right?
Okay.
And so I'm like, I'll just go back into the rental game and fund it that way. My doorbell rings. It's Chris, my old roommate from college, the one guy I told probably about a year before this that, hey, this is coming, this ministry. I don't know what it looks like, but just pray about it. So anyway, he comes to the door, and I let him in, and he says, hey, remember that ministry you told me about? And I said, yeah, I remember that. And he gives me $500. He said, hey, I want to support you.
Just out of the blue.
Out of the blue.
So to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, in God's economy, nothing's out of the blue.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he knew I was actually traveling back to Lynchburg, and he was like, hey, I'm supposed to support you, whatever that means, you know, whether this, you know, at this point I'm like, I still have a house, but I'm, you know, I'm divorced, I'm bankrupt, and I have the kids, and I'm literally digging ditches and just trying to make things, you know, fly here. So anyway, we stayed up late that night talking about, he's like, I've been on many missions trips. He goes, why don't you just, you know, fund this like you're a missionary. You're not going over to Africa to serve, although that's needed, and I support that. But you're right here in Minnesota, and you're serving. And why don't you get people to give and donate? And so that was very scary to me. But God took me through some certain things in life over the next months where I did. I made a list of about 200 people I knew. And I just called him up, and I was scared to death. I called him up and said, hey, I'm starting a ministry. I need prayer, lots of it, and I need support, money, meaning money. And I kind of hold the phone away and, you know, kind of make this screeching look on my face that they're going to hang up on me or, you know.
Yeah.
And one by one, people would be like, well, okay. I'm like, well, can I come over and share it with you, you know, at your kitchen table? And so I'd share this with him, and one by one, people would say, wow, we're excited. We'll pray about this, or we're in. We're going to give. And I'd walk away. I remember walking up this one person's driveway, you know, out to my car, down their driveway back home, or to my car so I could go back home, and just thinking, my goodness, I'm so blessed. This is incredible. These people are just giving money to this. And then here I'd get notes from them. You know, they're giving, and they're like, we are honored. Thank you for asking us. And God really showed me during that time that, you know, he wanted me to create this community, not just a community of storytellers, but this community of people that are gathering around this organization in prayer and giving. And so now I just love fundraising. I don't hesitate to ask people for money. I'm not apologetic to it. I love it because it's part of it. You know, mm-hmm. It's part of the deal.
Yeah. And you didn't necessarily get trained by some organization. This is how we do fundraising. You decided you were just going to call people. And most people have caller IDs, so they took your call, you know. But at least it was an opportunity for you to share your hope and what you had as a vision from God to them around their kitchen table, and they found that to be exciting.
Right.
And the result is this very powerful website, hope360.org. You're going to definitely want to look it up and see some of the storytellers on it because it was the start of a dream that God kind of laid in your heart 22 years ago, and it just took a couple of decades to get it up and running.
Right. And then the craziness continues. So here I'm getting this up and running. I'm doing the 501c3 and mm-hmm. you know, all the legal stuff and all that. And I said, God, you know, I'm a personal, like I'm a visionary. I'm a visionary, and I'm a person that sets goals. And I kept asking him, like, where are we going with this? What's this look like? And,
mm-hmm.
and I felt like at that point, God was like, just pay attention to the people that are in front of you. That mm-hmm. was the continued message. Like, if a guy would call you and say, hey, Doug, I saw your story. I can relate to it. I'm even suicidal. Can you come and talk to me? I would just do that. I would say, okay. And in those moments, too, I would think, man, what have I got myself into? I'm not a counselor. I'm just going to be here to pray for this guy and listen. God would just do miracles in these people's lives.
Yeah.
And that's the other side of it, too, is I would walk away from these meeting with these guys and just be like, oh, my, I just felt so blessed. And I felt like I was the one that was, you know, being encouraged. And I think
you were.
Well, yeah, I think looking back at it now is I'm retelling my story.
Mm-hmm.
And it just increases your faith when mm-hmm. you do that. And because it makes me think, oh, my goodness, yeah, I forgot about this. I went through this and God brought me out of that.
You know? Right. Now, let's start talking about some of the practical applications that storytellers get out of having their story on the website. Now, for example, and you've shared this with me, which I find fascinating. Let's say, for example, you've had a neighbor that you've been having conversations with. And after a certain amount of conversation, you mention that you've got this video link that you can send him, mm-hmm. which he can view in the privacy of his own home, mm-hmm. and he can actually hear your story. And and I know all the storytellers, because I've talked to several of them, have said that is an incredible tool for them because they can access people in their circle of influence by using the video as a link. Just
right.
go ahead and watch this. You'll hear my story. And it opens up conversation like they never knew possible.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, by putting it on video and on the internet, you think, oh, the world will see this.
Mm-hmm.
But I always, again, God brought me back to just make a difference in one person's life.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it doesn't make a difference if one person sees it or a million people see it,
mm-hmm.
it could change that one person's
right.
life. So yeah, like some of my neighbors, the next time, you know, the conversation might go something like this, like, oh, you know, sorry to hear about your divorce. And I would say, yeah, it was a tough deal,
mm-hmm.
but we're getting through it,
mm-hmm.
you know. And by the way, my story actually about it is on this website, hope360.org.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get on there, there's a search bar. Just put Doug
mm-hmm.
and hit the button and my story will come up.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the next time I see them, they say something like, oh, hey, by the way, I saw your story, and wow, that was really interesting. It was touching.
Mm-hmm.
Where does it go from, you know, at that point, what am I to say other than, yeah, and boy, did God get me through it. And like I said in the video, you know, I talked about James 1, 2 through 4, about him considering it, or about considering it joy as I was going through these problems.
Mm-hmm.
And so the conversation just naturally flows that
yeah.
way, to where all of a sudden you find yourself where friends and neighbors or people that you send this to, they're actually opening up a little bit. And they're saying, you know what, I'm not going through what you went through, but I got this situation
mm-hmm.
going on. Or,
mm-hmm.
or I got my wife has cancer.
You're bridge building.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
absolutely fantastic. And they're not seeing you as an extremist Christian freak.
I hope.
You know?
But I think, at least I hope not.
Well, I hope they're not either, but as they see the vulnerable side to your story, they all of a sudden get a different feel about you. And instead of you, you know, preaching at them in person, you're actually letting them listen to your story, and they're getting a whole different view of what God has done in your life. And And I tell you, it's pretty attractive.
Yeah.
And whenever people are vulnerable and they show their heart, and there's so many, every story on the Hope 360 website is, I think, is that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just another, like I said, it's just a way to grow your faith. I mean, I think about praying with people and how scary that can be, mm-hmm. you know, for people. And I'm fine with it, but some of these people have asked me, will you pray for me?
Mm-hmm.
And I've done it right there and then in some mm-hmm. instances. In other instances, not, you know, just prayed when I got home. But,
sure.
But it just builds community.
Yeah. And I think Billy Graham said when he was asked about his career as an evangelist and all of the places he traveled all over the world. And I think his comment was, if we reached one person for Christ, the whole thing was worth it.
Yeah.
And I love the attitude that you take because you're having the same feeling. You know, I would say the same thing on Christian radio here is if we reach one person for Christ, the whole thing has been worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. It reminds me of Andy Stanley said this. He said, do what you want to do for the world for one. And that was really powerful to me when I was starting this because I had big wide eyes. I was like, I'm a dreamer
mm-hmm.
and I'm a risk taker.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, we're going to, and I do believe this still to this day, we're going to change the world with this. We
mm-hmm.
are changing the world,
mm-hmm.
people's worlds. But I was thinking, we're going to change the world. We're going to go big, you know. And again, God kept having to bring me down into this, not down, but bring
yeah.
me back to saying, Doug, you are, but you got to deal with the people, not
right in,
deal with them. But
right in front of you.
Deal with them right in front of you.
Right.
So what I was getting ready to say earlier, the crazy continues. So I'm asking God then, so give me something to shoot for. You know, I'm a goal setter.
Mm-hmm.
And so he continually gave me this number of 50,000 storytellers.
Wow.
I know. That's what I said.
That's a huge number.
It is really huge.
Yeah.
And I, for a while, for years, I didn't say anything to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I said something to our board. But at one point, I remember I was really nervous about it because I think they're going to think I'm crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I kept praying about it. And so then I said something to them and kept praying about it. And he kept just saying, yep. And he said, you know what? I'm going to do much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm giving you this as something to put your sights on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been interesting. Since I put that out there, there's been people that have come that said, hey, Doug, I have this idea. You know, right now we were getting everybody in the studio to do a video,
mm-hmm.
lights, camera, action, that
yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah.
Now we're doing it with cell phones. We're still doing editing on them and so forth.
Right.
But we're in the beginning stages of working for something on our website where we can have a built-in video player where they can record it themselves.
Right.
And it would go in queue.
Nice.
Before it's live.
There's your 50,000.
Well, right.
You can work
once
fast.
Something like that happens, I mean, you can start adding them pretty quickly. So.
Yeah.
But,
it's interesting, Doug, because this is a great inspiration to a lot of people that are sitting and have thought about a ministry God might be leading them into, but they're still wondering if it's God speaking or something they just want to do. And so I love your transparency with what God's been doing in your life. And I want to hear more about it. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, more with Doug Kaufman. His website is hope360.org. And if you want to see some unbelievably cool testimonies and heart-wrenching stories about redemption in Christ, that's the place to go. Take a short break and be right back. This might be redundant coming out of anyone who works here at Faith Radio, but today we're helping the hopeless find hope. And my in-studio guest, Doug Kaufman, has put together a very fascinating website called hope360.org, and he has collected storytellers. And storytellers have recorded their story, and that's been beautifully categorized on the website. So if you have a particular story you want to hear, you can just click on it. And so, Doug, tell us about some of the storytellers that have been on the show. I'm on the website.
On the website,
yeah.
Sure. On my drive here, Kim Gorell came to mind.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a storyteller. She has her story up on the website. And her story is one that she had an abortion years ago,
mm-hmm.
way back when she was younger. And she was into drugs, and she got an abortion. And she said during when we were shooting her video, when we were filming her, and I'm not always there present when we're shooting the videos, mm-hmm. but, boy, I get emotional sometimes. I'm sitting there watching them, and I just love the different perspectives from the storytellers as far as, you know, what God means to them mm-hmm. and how they perceive hope from Christ. Mm-hmm. So anyway, she's telling her story, and I'm becoming a mess, you know, next to the guy filming this thing as she's telling this. And, mm-hmm. But she talked about something that we kind of talked about a little bit here too, where she said, when I was a Christian, and she said, when I got pregnant, I wish, and I when I went through with the abortion, she goes, I wish I had just one person in my life that would have came alongside of me and said, Kim, don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, I didn't.
Wow.
And now she's sitting here years and years later after she's repented of this and she's going through the grief stricken, and but she's received God's grace. She's repented. And now here years later, she's telling her story. And at the end, she says, this just gets me every time. At the end, she says, I just want to be that one person for some other woman out there
mm-hmm.
that's pregnant right now and that's thinking of getting an abortion.
Mm-hmm. And she very likely could be, because if you are searching the internet for stories of hope or abortion, this could come up and you could click on it and watch it, and you could hear Kim give this heart-wrenching story of her experience and encourage the viewer to be that one voice.
Right.
Yeah.
A side note of that is so many miraculous things have happened since Hope 360 started. One of them is... somebody told me that you can get a grant from Google
mm-hmm.
for AdWords.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you bid on keywords, and when people put in, say, the search bar abortion,
mm-hmm.
Doctors would bid on that word, and then it's pay-per-click, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
So then their website comes up, and they're hoping to get you as a client.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I applied. I heard that Google gives a grant away for dollars, credits,
mm-hmm.
to spend on this, and... people have told me, oh, they give a $10,000 one-time grant, typically.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after months of submitting this application and going back and forth with Google, they sent me a letter a couple of years ago and said, you're approved for $10,000 every month until you close your account.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So that's $120,000 every year
mm-hmm.
in Google AdWords grant money that we have. So the reason I tell you that is we bid on abortion.
Mm-hmm.
The word, the keyword,
mm-hmm.
because we want to get them, when somebody goes into Google and puts that in there, we want to get them over to say, hey, watch this story. There's hope.
Yeah.
You don't need to go down this path if you feel stuck,
mm-hmm.
you know. So incidentally, our website, we're getting about 11,000 hits a month just because of that.
Mm, wow.
You know, on top of the other hits we're getting.
Mm-hmm.
There's a abortion clinic out in Seattle that mm-hmm. is piggybacked off there. And what they did was they created their website. I forget the name of the clinic, but mm-hmm. at the end of it, it's 360.
Mm-hmm.
And
to try to hog in on your business?
Right, because they can see how many clicks we're getting with the tool.
Interesting, yeah.
When abortion is coming.
What another God,
360
what another God moment there.
Well, yeah, it really is. I mean, it's crazy. It's incredible how many views. These
how about
videos.
Another storyteller?
No, another one that comes to mind is Jenny mm-hmm. Bailey, who you've had on the program. And the reason she comes to mind is we don't know all of what God is doing in the background either. And
mm-hmm.
what I mean by that is, yeah, people are emailing us to say, you know, a storyteller says, hey, I need prayer, I need
mm-hmm.
encouragement,
mm-hmm.
you know. But Jenny got this story from somebody from our church, I believe, that this woman saw her story, and she was having an affair. And Jenny's story is one of drugs, and she had an affair with her husband years ago.
Mm-hmm.
She was a Christian. And so anyway, this woman stumbled upon the website, saw Jenny's story,
mm-hmm.
and she told a friend of a friend of a friend, and somehow it got back to Jenny, that this woman saw her video, Jenny's story, and went back and confessed to her husband that she was having an affair and that she wanted to make it right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was just, wow. Yeah, powerful. And
wow.
So, and Jenny never met this woman.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't even really know who she is. It was just kind of sort of weaved on through mm-hmm. the story. You know,
see, that's so powerful. That's God at work doing only what God can do.
Yeah.
I mean, because I thought when you were starting to tell the story that somehow this woman would have contacted Jenny. But the truth was, no, through a friend, through a friend, through a friend, she hears this and comes to the truth and then goes and that's a powerful story. Yeah, yeah. Another one for me.
Boy, there's so many. Well, another one is this one we just filmed. The latest one is Nancy. Her story is one where they adopted a drug baby.
Mm-hmm.
This girl, and she was really young.
Okay.
And her mother was...
So we knew the baby was a crack baby or something?
Right,
okay.
Right.
All right.
But her story is one of just trusting in God, just giving her child, this now grown daughter, over to Jesus, and just praying for years and years and years. And again, I'm filming this story, and here she's talking about... I can't remember exactly what she said now, but she's talking about just giving her kids over to Jesus and trusting in Jesus. Just the simplest message, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm just over there, man, just, wow, this is just anointed. This is powerful stuff. I watch her story, too. It's just put Nancy in the search bar.
Mm-hmm.
Here now later, her story of at the end of her story is basically her daughter is in jail for drugs and so forth. But she's like, it's an answer to prayer because she's in this Bible study. And she's calling me now, Nancy's saying this, and saying, Mom, what can I pray for you for? You know, I mean,
wow.
So just so many stories of hope. Mm-hmm. And sometimes life doesn't turn out the way we want it, and there is a plan B, but there's hope there, you know.
Mm-hmm. We only have a couple of minutes left here, Doug, but I'm just curious. God keeps laying new thoughts and new ambitions, and what's up next for Hope 360?
Well, one thing I just want to add real quick is if somebody's thinking, if God's nudging you to share your story, I would encourage you to just do it afraid. That's what I did.
Do it afraid.
Do it afraid.
Yeah.
Just do it. Call us. There's editing, so if we film you and you screw up, we'll
take care of it.
Yep,
yeah.
We'll take care of it.
Yep.
And just see what God does. I mean, every Christian has a story.
Yeah.
So we're called to do that. So what's new? What's next? Well, I'm working on an ebook.
Nice.
Why and how to share your story of hope. We're going to give it away free. We're going to give it away free to churches.
Yep. Yep.
And we're just really trying to get the word out there, the message that, hey, share your story, Christians.
Right.
Come, share your story. We're going to hit conventions and pastors' conventions and go to churches. And
stories is what changes lives.
Yeah.
People tell the story, and they tell it from their heart, and they talk about what Jesus has done, and it just resonates with people.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be storytellers, so I can't agree more, and I think your mission is a good one, and I think God is really expanding your ministry. And I think it's very cool. I hope everybody goes and checks it out, hope360.org. Doug, I know there's people listening tonight, this afternoon, that have already felt that they need prayer. They need maybe something, a word from God to either to get encouraged to take that next step, like you cried out, and your message from God was take the step. Maybe you'd pray for all the people that need prayer tonight and might need that first step.
Sure. Dear Jesus, I just I lift up to you anyone out there right now that's hearing my words or hearing this program that just feels hopeless. They feel like they're in a hopeless situation. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come down on them, you would wrap your loving arms around them, and that they would know that you are the one true hope, and there is hope that in Jesus, in you, Jesus. And we thank you for that. We thank you in advance for miracles that you're going to do in these people's lives that are listening right now, that are going to open their hearts up and trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Doug Kaufman, thank you very much for coming into the big studio and being on the show. It's always nice to hear these stories, that they're so inspiring, and the fact that God laid something on your heart and you said yes, and despite all the fear and anxiety, you plowed ahead and said, here I am, Lord, I'm all in. And I know that is a big word of encouragement for so many people today. It has been for me. So thank you for sharing that hope with others. And when the hopeless need to find hope, we can tell you where to go. Go to God's Word, get on your knees, and ask Christ to come in and do for you what only He can do. That wraps up Hour 1 of Live the Promise. Coming up in Hour 2, I'm going to talk to Gabe Lyons. He's written a book called Good Faith, Being a Christian When Society Thinks You're Irrelevant and Extreme. How about that? Stay tuned. We'll be back with Hour 2 of Live the Promise in just a minute.